Hello, everybody. I'm short, but I don't want to stand on that podium. Is that okay? Okay. Because I have this tendency to want to float around the room a little bit, and like up there, I would just feel like so far away, right? So I'm just going to stand down here. But my name is Erin Kawai, and I serve with OMF International, and it is an honor and a privilege to be at Urbana this year, and I've been here for the past few Urbanas, but it's an honor and privilege to be here, and I'm excited. How many of you, is this your first Urbana? Wow, wonderful. Woohoo, that's great. Okay, how many of you traveled from, let's see, who traveled the furthest? Can we do this game really quick? I just want to see. How many of you traveled from the West Coast? Okay, how many of you traveled from the Midwest? And then East Coast? Okay, Rockies, did you not include yourselves in the... There we go. There's my Rockies crew right there. Okay. Now, we got to go global, though. So how many of you came from outside of the U.S.? Outside of Canada? Okay, how many of you came from Canada? All right. Okay, outside of Canada again, really quick. Sorry. Wow. One, two, three. Raise them high. All right. Okay. Well, again, my name is Erin, and... like I've already said three times, I'm really excited. today, we want to give you, I don't know how many of you have had a chance yet, because the seminars have been going this afternoon, so I don't know how many of you have had a chance to go into the exhibit hall. Who's been in the exhibit hall so far? Okay, just a few of you. When you get in there, I don't know if Urbana, for all of you first-timers, was overwhelming for you last night. Like, this is way bigger than I expected, and this is way better. Like, the stage, to the praise team, to the drama, everything. How many of you expected that? Kind of. Okay, that's an honest answer. So what we want to do this afternoon is Steve's going to introduce himself in a second, but what we want to do is we want to give you a grid. And kind of, how many of you are photographers? Like Instagram, you know, you don't just like take a picture, Instagram it, you like edit it in one program, and then you take it back over to iPhone, you do another thing to it, and then you Instagram it or Facebook it or whatever, right? So we want to give you a lens or a grid to kind of see your Urbana time through. It's going to be like a matrix, not matrix like matrix, okay? But we want to give you a grid by which to see Urbana. So as God is speaking to you, you take, because I don't know how many of you in this room came in and said, I know exactly what I want out of Urbana 12. And I don't know how many of you in this room came and said, I have no idea, but I know God is getting me there, and I know God got me there, so he has something, so I'm going to wait on him for it. And so we want to give you today, again, just a grid by which to see where your experiences, like Tom Lynn said last night, where God's passions that he's put on your heart meet the world's greatest need. And so, we want to give you kind of a grid to see that by. Does that make sense? Okay. So, Steve, I'll let you.
My name is Steve Weems, and again, with OMF International. I'm from the South. I'm from Louisiana. So if you hear some of those good Southern diphthongs that jump out in there, you'll understand why. I've been living in California now for the time that Kathy and I have, my wife, have been back from Japan. We were there for 22 years. Our kids grew up there, so they think of Japan as home, sort of. But now they've come back to California and gotten settled and gotten married and all that. And so now we're back, and we're helping people get going that direction. But in the process, as we were moving that way, we didn't do Urbana. We didn't know anything about this. We just started doing things that were very simple for us, like reading a book or something. And we'll talk about that some, about what kinds of things it is that God has already been doing in you. But I grew up in the country. And I grew up on a farm, in fact. Not all the time. And we didn't always have to make all of our living from a farm, but I grew up on a farm. And so because I was on a farm, I know something about what it means to have to weed a farm. I hate weeding a farm, but I love having potatoes. And so I love the idea that when everybody gets together and does their work, that I get to have mashed potatoes. Anybody in here like mashed potatoes? A few people, okay. So, you know, good mashed potatoes with the gravy, and sometimes people like to have cheese or something. There's all kinds of things people add to it, but I grew up with that because we raised potatoes. But you know, when you raise potatoes, as my dad would tell me all the time, is he's up on the tractor and I'm on the ground and I'm doing the weeding, right? And I'm looking up at the tractor thinking, wow, that's what I want to be doing. And I was just a kid, so I, of course, I couldn't be up on the tractor. But the whole time that I'm growing up and doing this, I'm thinking, one of these days I'm going to get to sit on the tractor. One of these days I'm going to get to be the one who decides where I'm going to plow, how deep it's going to go, what's going to go in that field. I get to make those decisions. But my dad was trying to tell me something that was very important along the way, because he was trying to tell me how much we work as a team. Now, it's easy to say that when you're the one that's on the tractor, right? But I began to see it's true. My little sister, what's she doing? She brings out the iced tea. I'm from the South, remember? So it's iced tea with lots of sugar. In fact, it's actually sugar, a little iced tea in it. And so she brings out the iced tea. And so that's important, though, because I'm in out there in the middle of the of this huge field, and I'm sweating buckets, and she brings out the iced tea, and I realize if she didn't come out, I'm really, really, you know, thirsty. So my other sister, she's the one who's in the house, and she's helping get ready for the lunchtime that we're going to have. Because then what we do is we leave from there, we go inside, we have lunch, and that meal is so important. My grandmother, she's the one who puts up, she cans everything. So everything gets canned that she works on. And she's also the one who makes all the pies that are so delicious and all that stuff. My mom is doing, everybody has their own job. And when someone doesn't do his or her job, I don't get this. That's the thing I began to realize. One year, we had a drought, and all of our stuff burned. And during that year, we didn't get any of those. We didn't get the corn that year, we didn't get the sweet potatoes, and we didn't get the potatoes. And that was a very sad year, and I began to realize what it means that when everybody doesn't do his part. So, there's a vision. See, this is my vision when I was a farmer. What's the vision that God wants you to see? Have you ever thought of it that way? What is the vision that God wants you to see? For me, this vision caused each one of us to do what we had to do in order to make it happen. But for you, what does God want you to do? Just give me some idea right now. Somebody shout it out. What did Jesus say is what he wants us to do in the world? I'm sorry? Go and make disciples. Yes. What else? Love God. Yes. Anything else? It is true that I'm listening for a specific thing, though all these are great. Keep going. Any other things? What did Jesus tell us he wants us to do? Something about serving? Yeah, serving's good, yes. What about this one? In the Lord's Prayer, there's a very specific thing that Jesus says that he wants to happen in this world. Maybe you know that one as the part that where we say something about the kingdom of God. Does anybody know that expression? He says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's something about the way that when Jesus wants the kingdom of God to take place here. So if that's a vision, do you have that vision? Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is that in your heart as well? This kingdom is a kingdom of light. This kingdom is a kingdom that keeps touching every corner of the world. What does the kingdom look like though? If the kingdom has really come, what does it look like? What about this? Do these words make sense to you? Do they seem like the kind of things that happen if the kingdom has come? Do you live in a place right now where you know that around you there is a place where the kingdom has not come yet? It's dark. There are things there where people are not loving each other, not treating each other in the right way. Have you seen it happen already? I grew up in a family. That was, my mom's been married 5 times. I grew up with a lot of anger, a lot of violence, a lot of immorality in my family. And so because of all that, I saw a place where the kingdom had not come, even though everybody said they were Christians. But it wasn't the kingdom. It was not what Jesus wanted. And so when I think about this, and I think about what is it that God wants me to do, I say it'd be a wonderful thing to live in a place with these attributes of God's kingdom all around me all the time. But what about the rest of the world? Jesus wants his kingdom to spread to every people group in the world. So with his people group, I mean, his mission is going to go to every people group in the world. What's it going to look like? And how are we going to get there? That's the vision. That's the big mashed potato for me. That's what I think about almost every day that I wake up. I'm thinking about how do what I do today impact the world? Is that something that you've been thinking about? So practically speaking, what's it look like? Let's get into some small groups. Can we do that? Can you decide who would be some... Are we ready for that? Yeah. Let's help you right now get into some small groups and talk about this a little bit. So, go ahead.
If you came with a campus, if you are sitting with church friends, if you're sitting and you came with people, get into those groups. If you didn't come with church people, because we know there are some that came with their churches in here or the campuses in here. So if you came with your campus, get with your campus. If you didn't, make new friends. It's Urbana. We make new friends at Urbana, okay?
Okay, so can you go ahead and do that
for us? So get into groups of like five.
Yeah.
Okay, four or five, no more than six.
Break your chairs up if you have to, whatever. Sit on the floor.
Move around, move your chair. Sit on the floor, it's fine.
Okay, just get in your group right now. I'll give you an assignment in just a second. And first thing right now is get your group. So we talk a lot here at Urbana about missions and taking the vision, that vision that we talked about of every people group in the world having the light of God's word, having the light of the gospel there, every people group, every place in the world that there's light there. So to get there, we're going to talk about some things you could do, some practical things if possible. I hope this is very practical. I hope that you won't leave not think of at least one thing you might be able to do when you leave here. So let's start off with the first one. As I told you before, my wife and I were missionaries in Japan for 22 years. And so the first one I would like to tell you about is the one, go. When you do a go to every kingdom group and every people group in the world, then for us, that one specifically meant we had to learn what it meant to get out of our comfort zone and go someplace else. Could you read this with me? We ask our brothers and sisters in Christ at home to join us in praying to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers, but we are concerned that only men and women called of God, fully consecrated to Him, counting the cost, should come. Mere romantic feeling will soon die out in the toilsome labor. Faith in the living God alone gives joy and rest in such circumstances. D.E. Host was a director of one of the biggest missions in China. Do people tell you that when they talk about going? Maybe you've already heard it. That thing about toilsome labor, it's true. One of the guys who came and worked short term with me from Singapore, he was there for a whole year. So for the year, we're working about various things, doing a lot of different things in Tokyo. And then at the end of the year, he was looking at the idea of being able to stay for another year. And so I said to him, so what do you think about this thing? He said, well, I'll just be honest with you. One of the things that's been hardest about it is that I get bored. And I said, so you had this idea that you'd never get bored if you went to the mission field, right? He said, yeah. He said, everybody always told me that you're busy all the time and you're always doing these wonderful things. And I found out that it's not true. And I was so glad he finally figured it out. And you know what? He stayed another year. Because he found out that there is a lot of toilsome labor, but there's also just a lot of just life that you live with other people. Going, whether it's short-term or long-term, means that you're saying, I'm going to leave a comfort zone that I have, and I'm going to cross some kind of barrier to get into that other one. Go into your small groups right now and talk about some practical things that you can think of that have to do with you going. Okay, 3 minutes. Go ahead. Okay, so hopefully you've been talking about how it looks practical in your community, in your group of friends, around what you're doing. What does going mean? Let's do another one now. Let's talk about what it means to pray. Praying is something that everybody talks about. But look at what J.O. Fraser, who was a missionary among the Lisu people in northern Burma. Many of us cannot reach the mission fields on our feet, but we can reach them on our knees. Solid, lasting missionary work is accomplished by prayer, whether offered in China, India, or the U.S. He was from the U.S. That's why he said this. But this idea of prayer, do you pray? Now, I'm not talking about the prayer that says that you get up in the morning and you have a little calendar there and it says Myanmar, and you say, Lord, bless Myanmar. I mean, I guess there's nothing wrong with that particular prayer. But that's not going to be the kind of prayer that is going to make sure that the person who wants to get there. The other day I'm talking with a doctor who is begging me almost. He went on a short-term trip. He got into Myanmar. He's able to do some work there with them. He loves it. He is so excited about Myanmar. He wants to be there. He's retired. He wants to retire and stay there the rest of his life, helping the people in Myanmar. The problem? Who can get into Myanmar? So all I'm thinking is, Lord, somebody forgot to pray for Myanmar. Because there should be an open door for this doctor who has the skills and the ability to go there, but somebody forgot to pray for Myanmar. Oh, maybe it was me. Maybe I'm the one who forgot. You see, prayer is not something we do just because we don't have anything better to do. Prayer is an offensive weapon that we use. And if we don't use prayer like that, then most of the time it becomes more, as somebody wrote it one time, it becomes more like an intercom. I think it was Piper who said this, or somebody like that, who said that it's more, we use it more like an intercom. We're upstairs and we're calling down to the kitchen for some more supplies. And that's what we use prayer for. It has to do with personal stuff. We don't use prayer, though, as an offensive weapon. We don't target and say, Lord, there need to be people groups that need to know you in Nepal. Let me pray for that, Lord. Give me the opportunity. Give me more time. Give me motivation to pray for that one thing. Go to your small groups, please, and talk about how you can make prayer something practical in your own lives in the mission world. Go ahead. 3 minutes.
Okay. Let's wrap that part up. You'll notice that we haven't given you quite a lot of, here's some ideas, right? Like, some of you guys are like, what do you mean by this, right? Okay. Here's why. You guys are smart people, and we want to challenge your thinking a little bit. So, in the area of going, it's going to look different for all of us, because what is God calling you to do? Where is he calling you to go? So what were some of the ideas in terms of community? What were in your community where you've come from? What does going look like in your community? What were, there are mics around the room. Don't be shy. But what did going look like in some of your communities? Some people share. Up in front here, Ken. Talk loud till you get the mic.
Oh, I really wanted to go on a missions trip last summer, and I really wanted to go overseas, and that's like where my heart was. And I had about 5 places open to me, and all the doors got shut, and I was so devastated. And then someone came to my church and spoke about like at-home missions, and spoke about a camp near me where they needed counselors, and God was just like, go. I was like, no, I don't want to. I want to go overseas. But I did go, and it was more terrifying to stay at home and go to a camp an hour away than it was for me to go to Africa. Like, I wanted to go and do something amazing, but God had called me to stay at home and work as a missionary at, like, a camp near me.
How many of us, rhetorical question, how many of us can relate to that, though? Okay, go. Go ahead, go ahead. Next. Yeah, go.
My chapter was, like, fairly new, being planted. I think it was, like, replanted, like, 5 years ago, maybe. I'm not sure. But it was very small, so we wanted more members, and we wanted to just spread the gospel, obviously. And so we did, a lot of us had to do these things called proxy stations, which is when you go out and stand on the quad and talk to people you don't know, or maybe people you do know, about Jesus. And it's really intimidating, especially just because, like, it's hard to, like, make the initial approach, and then people avoid you, and then it's awkward. Or it's just awkward, or people pretend that they're vampires, and then you're just like, what do I do with this? But it was actually, like, a really awesome experience at the end of the day, because you're, like, thrown out, but then amazing things happen. Like, this semester, actually, a girl accepted Christ on the quad, and we were just like, what? Like, that just happened. It was that easy. And so when things like that happen, it's really encouraging, and you realize, okay, this is why I need to go. So.
Okay.
I'm sitting on the ground. Should I stand up?
Stand up.
Okay. one of my favorite things we do at my campus is we do a fair trade sale. So every time in late November, early December for Christmas gifts, we sell products handcrafted by women, like in Calcutta or in Manila in the Philippines. And all the proceeds go directly back to these women, and men. but, you know, these were people that were trapped in bondage in old lifestyles. And, like, just by simply, like, buying these products, like, they're changing lives. So that's one of the favorite things at our campus we get to do in a way. Like, it's going, but it's right there at home.
How about praying? What does praying look like in your community?
For my community, I just learned the seminar. At 2:00, it was like, in order to pray for people, and you have compassion for them. So, like, in my community, our Bible study, we get together and we pray for each other, and then we also share prayer requests to be able to reach out to our community. And that just is a way that not only are you praying with your brothers and sisters in Christ, but you're also, harnessing the power of prayer to reach out to others.
Okay, we've got great ideas. Oh, one more.
My roommate and I started praying for everyone on our floor, on our dorm floor at school. And we split up the list. Each of us got half the people. Then God spoke to her, telling her that we should start a Bible study and invite these people. So these people that we've been praying for and praying for weeks, they started coming to our Bible study, which is a miracle if you knew these people. It's not a Christian campus, but about 10 people have come so far, and it's really cool because you see people getting in touch with Christian roots that they had when they were young, but, you know, they've kind of lost it, and it's just really rewarding because it's been completely coded in prayer, and it's completely because of prayer.
Amen. We're going to have to move. I know there's more stories. I see you. Because I'm standing up here now. But we want to give you guys these ideas and for you to realize that you already own so many of these ideas on your own campuses, in your own churches. But is God asking you to take a step further? Right? Because last night, right, Callisto said, if it's not going to be valid here, then how is it going to be valid there? And you praying on your campus for your other, like other unbelievers on your campuses, it starts there. But do we understand or have we forgotten that when we pray for the nations, the same thing happens there? There was a move of the Lisu people that J.O. Fraser was reaching only by prayer and God's grace. Because it was not until there are this small little prayer group and, you know, we speculate. I mean, it was his mom and a few others, that much we know. But they got on their knees. He said, I want you to wrestle with God for them. And are we willing to wrestle with God? And now today in China, the Lisu people are one of two recognized Christian people groups in all of China. That happened 100+ years ago. But are we willing to understand, or do we even acknowledge that God is that big and he's that good to take the simple prayers of faith that we pray here, translate them, and revolutionize an entire culture for generations? You guys, Urbana is as much about campus, but we also have to remember globally. And so we want to stretch your imagination to remember how big God is. We're not just your imagination. We want to stretch your view of God. As your view of God gets bigger, then your prayers get bigger. Our faith grows because we understand it's not about what we do. It's about who he is, right? We've all heard that before. Nothing new. So, kingdom of God in every people group. We can go. We can pray, and we can send. A lot of times when we think of sending as, I'm going to write a check. But you know what? I'm a college student, so I don't have a lot of funds, so maybe I'll send $5 a month. And that is contribution. I'm not doubting that. But what is God asking you? It's beyond a check. It's beyond finances. It's saying, what resources do I have which could help a missionary in their work? Do you know what college students do? Every summer, they go globally and they go locally, but they go globally to offer the gift of being young. And little kids like to hang out with young people. And there are older people who like to see young people. And they generationally revolutionize just by being college students. They get onto college campuses where other people, no offense, Steve, but you're older than we are. Okay. It's true. Like, he's not going to have the same opportunities on a college campus in China or Vietnam or Thailand or Kazakhstan, right, as the rest of us would, because I'm older than I look, but, like, I get to fit in. So, you know, being college students, there's an advantage to building relationship with your peers, to share the gospel just like you would on your campuses, just like you would in your neighborhoods, right? So what resources do you have? Maybe you're a computer science major. Maybe you're an engineering major. Maybe you're studying those things. Maybe you're an agriculture major. Maybe you're a sewing major, like a fashion and design merchandising major. What do I have that God could use? There's a family that I know that said, "What do I have?" And they came home from serving overseas. And there's more than one family that's like this. But they basically came home from serving overseas because their middle daughter was diagnosed with autism and they could no longer serve overseas because there were no educational possibilities for their daughter. So they came home. The husband is a well-paid six-figure-a-year engineer. The wife was able to eventually, after they settled in for a while, the wife was able to go back and be a teacher. So she was at school when the kids were at school. She was home when the kids were at home to do the things and to do the therapies and the intervention that their daughter needed. So teachers make a lot of money, right? We all know that. They lived off of her salary every year. Again, did you hear what I said, how much money he made? His six-figure, well-paid engineering salary. They gave that away to missions every year. That is sacrificial sending. They've been home for, I think, like 7 or 8 years now. They still do that. He's still making big, big bucks because he also consults on the side of his six-figure-a-year engineering job. They give that away too. So what is God asking for you to sacrifice? For some of us, it's not going to be six figures a year. For some of us, it's going to be that dollar a week because we're paying our way through school. But God is asking us to give all of what we have for all of who he is. So what does it look like for you to send in your community? What about your churches? Do you know the missionaries on that board at church? What does it look like for you and your communities to send? Go to work. Brainstorm. Okay, that's a fast one. Oh no is right. I hear, oh no, I didn't get to talk. Okay, that's a fast one. So how many of you came up with some creative resources? What resources do we have in this room? Shout them out. We're not going to do the mic thing. Just shout out what resources you have. Facebook what? Promo, Facebook promo. Giving up your tithe. I don't know what the, oh, time. I was going to say, I don't know what the church is going to have to say about that. We don't want to get in. I'm like, I don't want to touch that right now. We can talk later. Anyway, okay, time. Good. What other resources? Money. Your car. Amen. Because those of us who go traveling, man, renting cars gets expensive. So if you can go and borrow somebody's car when you're traveling, you're doing home assignment, ooh, it's a blessing. Big, bold, consistent prayers. Amen and amen. Kind of overlaps, right? That is the important work of sending to his prayer. Okay. Oh, where? Your comfort. Amen to that. I will tell you this. Oh, go ahead. Knowledge. Yes. Okay. Go, Henry. I saw you. Did you raise your hand? Henry, oh, no. Okay. All right. This is what happens when I know some of you. I call it on you by name. Go ahead. Encouragement. Amen. Your voice. Amen. Food. Amen. Food. Amen. Okay. Very quickly. So, I made this one fast because sending kind of goes into this. And a lot of times we think of sending as a resource in terms of finances and goods. But sometimes sending is not going to look like that because, again, college students don't got a lot of money unless, you know, mom and dad are like paying for everything and they give you like $1,000 a week. I don't know how many of you that applies. It certainly didn't apply to me. But for some of you, it's not going to be in that resource, right? It's not going to be in that financial resource. But you know people. And so mobilize. So we've so far covered go, send, pray. What did we? Oh, mobilize. I can count to four. Mobilize. And mobilization is getting other people to join you in what you're doing and in what God is doing. Mobilization is the mobilization of people and resources to further God's kingdom. Is it easier to build a house on your own or to get a bunch of people to do it with you? Because I'm sure a lot of you in this room have either been on a Habitat for Humanity home building project or a Mexico home building project, right? Okay. So would it be easier to just go down to Mexico and be like, God, I got this. I'm going to go to Mexico and I'm going to go to inner city LA and we're going to build us a house. Or would it be easier to say, hey, campus fellowship, hey, college group at church, hey, people, let's go build a house together. Is it easier to build it on your own? Probably not. I got some big no. Okay. But so to mobilize is to get other people to do it with you and to help them to realize and to say, you know what, you've got the gift of singing. And they really need some gifted vocalists to come down or to go down and train. Or they really need some people who are good with handicrafts. Or they need some people who are just willing to go and love. And you have that gift of encouragement. Mobilizing people to use what God has given them in their hands to send others and to be part of his global work. So who do you know on your campus that needs to figure out? Or who on your campus do you see, like, this person is really gifted in this? One of the girls at my church, she's on my MSG, the Good Kind, the missionary support group at my church. And she is wonderful because that girl has got the gift of encouragement. Do you know what she does? She makes sure that Aaron has baked goods in her mailbox about once every few months. And believe you me, our office gets the benefits of that, too. Okay, we get candy, we get food. That's why Ken said food, because he knows food, it encourages us. And we get cards and letters. All of us know how to write, I think, still in this room. Send an email, right? So who do you know on your campus? You're a really good encourager. Would you want to write letters to our missionaries? You're a really good baker. Would you want to bake to encourage our campus staff? Because I bet your campus staff would love that, right? So who do you know that you can mobilize toward God's global cause in reaching the nations and in reaching your campuses? Who do you know? Go to work. Small groups again, brainstorm. Who are you going to mobilize? Who can you mobilize? What does it look like to mobilize? Yeah.
So all these things we've been talking about hopefully are helping you to think. Oh, we never get to you. Next time, let him start first. That's okay. Right. Okay. The idea right now is just to get you thinking about this, because you're supposed to go now, take this, and go back to other people. And they're, you know, you're having a conversation with someone, and you tell them about your time at Urbana, and they're saying something like, "Well, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do." And you'll have a million ideas to give them at that time, because you'll have already thought through them. You might even be writing these things down in journals, and you'd be thinking about what you're going to do the very beginning when you get back. One of the things that we think about here in this number five category, go, pray, send, mobilize, and welcome, is the people that you talk to, that you could talk to on a daily basis almost, because of the people who live around you. I was at a seminar recently that had a Chinese pastor there. He pastors in China. And he was talking with a whole bunch of people who were Chinese, and I wasn't because I'm from Japan, and so I could speak Japanese. But translation, I could do it. So during the translation, I'm understanding what he's saying. And then all of a sudden, he stops, and it's as if he's just looking right at me. And he says, "Please invite Chinese students into your homes. They will come. They want to eat." And he said this, and we all started laughing, but it was kind of a nervous laugh, because one of the things that he was trying to express was, he went on to say, it's so much harder when they come back to China to tell them about the Lord, and yet they have so many opportunities here. I'm in Japan one day, working with a small church. I know all the people there, sharing the message for that Sunday. There's a man there, and I recognize he was a new person. And so afterwards, I go up to talk to him. And he's from North Korea. And he was in Japan. He'd grown up in Japan. And his family worked within the thing, and I have to be kind of careful about what kinds of things I say about him. But anyway, he, during the time that I got to know him there in Japan, he wanted to study the Bible. But the welcome part of it is, he first heard about the Bible and Jesus Christ staying on a homestay in Savannah, Georgia. And I'm from the South, but I can make fun of people from the South as well because I'm from there. And I just couldn't imagine that someone from Savannah, Georgia, just this little couple in their home, and he's sitting there, and they pulled out the Bible and shared Jesus with him. And I get the benefit in Japan of him coming in and saying, could you teach me the Bible? Because this little couple back in Savannah, Georgia, told me about Jesus. See, that's welcome. That's saying, Lord, who is out there that I might need to know? 60 million international visitors to U.S. each year. 670,000 international students enroll in U.S. universities every year. 30,000 to 60,000 refugees allowed to enter the U.S. every year. You probably know somebody in this category who needs to know the Lord before they go back to their own country. Welcome them into your life. Walk with them. That's how we got to Japan. We met a Japanese couple and said, we want to know who you are and get to know you. And next thing you know, 2 years later, we're in Japan. Go to your small groups again for just a couple of minutes and talk about ways you can find that you could welcome people. If we are going to see the kingdom of God in every people group of the world, then there's one more thing that at least I can think of. This makes six, by the way. And that one is to learn. I told you before that the reason that my wife and I decided we were going to go as missionaries long term with our lives was we began to read books. We began to read missionary biographies. We began to read Hudson Taylor and Jim Elliot and J.O. Fraser and these kind of people like this. And when we began doing that, I admit, if you've ever read them, you know sometimes the literature is not as good. What I mean by that is everybody's not a good writer. But the thing that I began to recognize was that wasn't the reason I was reading it, was for a good writer. I was reading it because I wanted Jesus to show me what he's doing around the world. And the only way I was going to find it, because you know what? Even though I may read the world news, and there's some great things to pray for in the world news, I hope that you pray every day when you open the newspaper or you open your internet news. I hope you pray every day for something that pops up there. And that's one of the things we learn how to do. But that's not going to tell you the good news of what Jesus is doing. It's not going to tell you that there are 10,000 people a month, I believe it is, coming to know the Lord. Was that what it was, Tommy? In that one place in the world that we can't talk about? 10,000 people a month who are coming to know the Lord. It's causing a revolution in their country that they can't even believe. And you only find that if you're going to read about it. You've got to go out there and find that information. So go into your group again and talk about ways you can learn how, learn about missions. Learn about where to go. Learn about who to pray for. All those things. Go to your small groups one more time.
Okay, so who said Urbana is a way to learn? Okay. You get the, that was obvious answer reward. But here, in summary, you guys, you just started the tip of the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg with this one. There are so many ways to go and to pray and to send and to mobilize and to welcome and to learn about missions and about what God is doing and to get involved. Here's the reality, though. You have a whole week at Urbana. And so remember at the beginning I said we want to give you this session as a grid. So as you begin to go to other sessions, ask the Lord, Lord, what resources do I have to serve you? What have you given to me that is to go back to you for your glory among the nations? What have you given to me that's to go back to you? And so as you sit in a session, God, what are you saying to me? Are you asking me? Are you mobilizing me to get involved and to start a prayer group on our campus? Are you asking me to get involved and to be somebody who's a welcomer of international students? Are you asking me to continue learning? We have information at our fingertips, you guys. But what do we do with it? Does it go in one ear and out the other? And, oh, yeah, I learned about that somewhere. Are we going to use what knowledge we have on CNN.com and BBC and who knows where, Wikipedia, for crying out loud, wherever else we're getting information from, okay? What are we going to do with it? Once we know something, we are responsible for the knowledge that we have. And so how is God wanting to use that? We want to redeem Twitter and Facebook for God's glory. We are blowing it up on Twitter right now. It is a top trend. Did you know that U12 is a top trend right now? Okay, it was that yesterday and the day before, I think. Okay, it is getting redeemed because do you know what? There is a listening world out there that does not know of the kingdom to come, but they are finding out fast. Why? Because there are 15,000 of us that are banned this week. But after this week is over, what happens? Again, as you guys go from seminar to seminar, we want this to be a grid. God, are you asking me to go? Are you asking me to pray? Are you asking me to send others? Are you asking me to continue learning? What is God asking of you? We're going to give you a little exercise. And the thing is that we're doing the session today and then on Sunday. And I'm not doing a shameless plug to say come back on Sunday. What I am saying, though, is this, is on Sunday it's going to be a little bit different. Because we're giving students in that session an opportunity to write themselves a 2-month letter. Because after Urbana is all said and done, God, what are you asking of me? And to ask you to write a 2-month letter like that, like, God, what are you asking me right now? It would be premature because we haven't done much of Urbana yet. But what we're going to do is you can take a piece of paper with you and you can come back on Sunday. And if you want to write a letter, not in that session, you don't have to come to the session. If you want to, you can. We're revamping it for Sunday. But if you want to write a letter to God, this is our commitment to you, is you can write a letter to God after God has spoken to you this week. And you can put it inside an envelope and you put your address on it. And although we are with OMF International, you will not get, I commit this to you, you will not get spam from OMF International. This is Steve and me personally saying we want to invest in you students. And you will get the letter back in 2 months to say, God, am I committed to what you asked of me 2 months ago at Urbana? To go on a short-term trip, to go on Global Urban Trek, to do an urban project this summer. What are you asking of me to do? But if you want to write something down, if you want to take a piece of paper, it'll be at the door at the back. Okay? But that's it. You guys surrender your lives to the Lord and say, God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? So there's paper, there's envelopes, you can take it. You can bring it back on Sunday. You can drop it off at the OMF International booth. We will not swarm you. You can just drop it off to Steve or me. And if we're not there, just drop it off and tell them. They'll know what to do with it, okay? We promise we will not swarm you. Okay?
Almost time now, but you've already begun maybe understanding that in the back of this little thing you have your evaluation, seminar evaluation form. So please go back there, take a minute to check quickly, and you'll be going. Before you do that, though, I think it's got to be that we got to spend some time in prayer, okay? So just very quickly, okay? Let's just go to Jesus. Jesus, my heart is so excited when I think about the impact that this group of people could have on the world. When I think about spirit-filled men and women who determine now that they will do something to bring your light into dark places around the world. I can't wait. And I can't, that day in heaven when one of these young people comes up to me and says, hey, remember when we sat there at that time and we talked about that? And this is what I got to do for God's glory. This is what Jesus did through us in my world. And Lord, I'm going to be so excited about that. And Jesus, I know you're already excited because you know it. You know what you're going to do through each person here. I pray that you'll help us, each of us, not to get distracted, but to keep our focus on the vision that you want your kingdom to come on earth as it already is in heaven in every people group of the world. And we commit that to you, and we pray you would do it through us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you.